contraception, a major health issue for many women from diverse cultures. Postpartum disorder appears to be a condition that people are generally aware of, but they don't understand what it is. They are aware that there is something like that, but there is lack of understanding. There is insufficient knowledge about postpartum disorder. Worldwide, about 10% of pregnant women and 13% of women who have just given birth experience a mental disorder, primarily depression. In developing countries, this is even higher. It's put at 15.6% during pregnancy, and 19.8% of women suffer depression after childbirth. In severe cases, mothers suffering might be so severe that they may even commit suicide. You must have heard of mothers giving birth and then killing their newborn. Why should birthing a child, which is generally believed to be a thing of joy, a thing of happiness, why should that most women will feel fulfilled, why should it usher in some kind of suicidal thought for some women after giving birth? I mean, I'm confused, really. I don't know why that is so. For a number of women all over the world, childbirth is followed by sadness, fear, anxiety, mood swings. Sometimes they don't even want to eat or have any attraction for their partner anymore. What is necessary for all of this? Now, if you're a woman and you've given birth before, we would like to hear from you this morning. Did you experience postpartum depression after you gave birth to your child? How did you come through the darkness and those intrusive thoughts? Or are you still going through that right now? Please, you would like to hear from you. Would you like to share your experience? Please, come on. We would hear from you in a moment. Or if you are a man, you're the man, you're a partner to a woman who thinks, who you think rather, is experiencing postpartum depression, what are you doing to help? Well, I have an expert on the show this morning. Dr. Omobolawa Akonde Akinyemi is joining us via Skype this morning. You can watch live on Facebook and on YouTube, so you can see my guest on those two platforms, and let's share our thoughts on those two platforms. She's a senior resident doctor at Federal Neuropsychiatric Hospital, Yaba. She joins us this morning. Dr. Omobolawa, good morning to you.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you loud and clear.
Okay, I'm glad to be here to talk about postpartum depression.
Fantastic. Tell us about what it is, really. What is postpartum depression, in case I miss out anything?
Okay, I think you were pretty clear. Postpartum depression is a mood disorder, primarily a disorder of mood that occurs in women after they give birth. However, there are a whole range of conditions that happen, psychological conditions that happen to women after they give birth. So what the most common one of them is what we call baby blues. Usually occurs a few hours to 2 weeks after giving birth, weepy spells, sleep problems, anxiety, agitation. Mm-hmm. But usually within 2 weeks, that subsides on its own without treatment.
Yeah.
Postpartum depression is a bit different. That's after 2 weeks, you now start seeing these changes. It could be something subtle, like not sleeping well, not eating well, to the psychological aspect, the fact that they believe that there's something wrong with them, there might be something wrong with the baby, they are short-tempered with everybody around them, they feel overwhelmed, weepy spells, and they don't really know what's wrong. A lot of times, women are like, I've been looking for a child, I have a healthy child, and I don't know what's wrong with me, and then they are not able to cope. They are snapping at their partners. They are angry with their mother-in-laws. And everybody knows that there's a change with this person, but they don't know why. Mm. Yeah. So then there's another one that is more severe, which is postpartum psychosis.
Okay.
Occurs from a few days after birth up to months after. That one is when they lose contact with reality. They start hearing things that are not there, seeing things, talking out of point. And that's where you sometimes see them, because maybe they're trying to protect themselves or their child from something perceived evil. They might attempt to kill themselves or kill their child, which is called filicide. So that's the rage.
It's sounding, Dr. Mobola, it's sounding quite disheartening to be hearing this. I mean, normally when you give birth, it's supposed to be, you're supposed to be happy, joyous, excited, overwhelmed in the positive side of things. But, you know, hearing this, according to the World Health Organization, about 20% of mothers in developing countries experience depression after childbirth. And guess what? Nigeria is in this bracket of 20% of developing countries, mothers experiencing this. You are an expert in this space. How prevalent is postpartum depression in Nigeria?
Okay, postpartum depression is very common, but we don't talk about it. The very first time I had contact with it was as a medical practitioner. A friend of mine gave birth a few months before I did, and she told me that after she gave birth, she just kept crying and she was unhappy. And I couldn't just wrap my, even though I had been trained, I had known the theory, I couldn't understand. She was comfortably, she had had a, she was married, it was a child she was looking for, and she was just so sad. It was such a traumatic period for her that it made her find it very difficult to conceive her next child. She kept thinking that, oh, if I get pregnant again and I have another child, then maybe these sad feelings, these feelings would reoccur. And it was around that time that okay, realized, okay, this is something that she might need help for. So it took her maybe a lot of years before she could have another child. But at that time, she had known that, okay, I'm at risk of postpartum depression. I had depression that wasn't treated in the first child. And then she was able to get the help she needed, and she didn't develop it in the subsequent delivery. So it's very common, but we don't talk about it. How can you tell people that are coming for your naming ceremony that, oh, there's something wrong with me, I'm a bad mother, I feel that my child is going to die, or there's something wrong with me, and all of that. You people in our culture, we don't talk about those type of things. You just internalize it. And then the woman goes through a lot of suffering. And then it affects her relationship with her child. She doesn't bond well with that child. She doesn't bond well with her spouse. She doesn't get the support she needs from people around her. It has long lasting implications on her, on her relationships, and on her child.
Just so we're clear, Dr. Mobolawa, because I'm sure that a lot of people are listening right now and say, so if I'm worried about my kid now, does that mean I have postpartum depression? Please, try for us, try and separate this. Being bothered about your kid when you wake, you know, you just give birth. For instance, first-time mothers, you want to wake up in the middle of the night and say, ah, is he breathing? Is he breathing? Ah, yeah, yeah, yeah. See, yes, yeah. Please, separate it for us. At what point does a mother cross that line to say, okay, this is what is wrong now. This is no more you being worried about your baby.
Okay, yes. So anxiety and all these thoughts and being checking and all of that are very common when you give birth. However, that's the place of having a trained medical personnel assess you. There are certain criteria that you might meet, that you need to meet before we say, oh, this person does have postpartum depression. But if you're having a whole range of symptoms at night, every night you can't sleep, you're going to check on the child, you're anxious, you're snapping at people, and can't eat well, or you're eating too much, people ask you, oh, you're losing so much weight, and then there's this profound feeling of sadness within you. You know that I am unhappy. I don't know why. You cannot put your finger on it. I'm unhappy, and I feel as if something is going to go wrong. It's like this cloud is on your shoulder. People are greeting you and everything, but deep down, you're like, something bad. And it's something that doesn't subside. After 2 weeks, it's normal. After 2 weeks, you should be able to cope with the routine of taking care of a child. That's why usually we would diagnose postpartum depression until about 2 weeks after the birth of a child. If all those anxiety and all of that hasn't gone down and it's affecting your ability to care for yourself, care for your children. You know, there's some women, when you see them, you're like, they haven't done their hair, they haven't combed their hair. I had a friend, she hadn't combed her hair in over a month. She's like, I have to take care of my baby. I can't do anything. She had so let go of herself. And then, so those are some of the things you see in women that have postpartum depression. And sometimes their spouses might also have postpartum depression, even though it's less common. Sometimes
you see are you kidding right now, Dr. Babalawa, in the spouse?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes, it's not so common, but it's possible.
Okay, that cracked me up. Dr. Babalawa is a senior resident doctor at Federal Neuropsychiatric Hospital, Yaba. And my phone lines have been buzzing all morning, and I guess that a lot of people have questions for you. So I'm going to stop with mine for now and take one or two questions from the people. I can see messages that are coming in also on WhatsApp. When we take these questions, I'll come back with my own, because me personally, I want to know whether there is a connection between postpartum depression and the mode in which a woman, you know, gives birth, whether there is a connection between those two. But let me take this call first. 0700-993-993-993. Nigeria Info, good morning to you. We lost that call. Let's wait till we process our next call. But in the meantime, you can drop your questions for Dr. Mobolawa on our live stream on Facebook and on YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3 on those two platforms. Nigeria Info 99.3. On those two platforms. Dr. Mobolawa, let's quickly attend to that question while we wait to process this call that is being processed at the moment. Connection between PPD and mode of giving birth. Is there a link?
No, well, not really. There are certain things that could make you at increased risk of having postpartum depression. There are biological factors, and there are psychological factors, and there are social factors. So some of the biological factors that can increase your risk of having postpartum depression is if you've had postpartum depression in previous pregnancies, or if you've had, there's a family history of postpartum depression.
Yeah.
Then having a traumatic delivery, like having to have instrumentation done, could increase your risk. Mm. And then maybe having fetal loss, which is to be expected, loss of the child, can have, and then if the child has illnesses, you know, the child has to spend time in those could increase your risk, or the child comes out with some medical conditions,
right?
That could make you at increased risk.
Dr. Mobolawa, please,
like commonly said,
Come back to that. But I have someone, Ekachi, on the line. He's a first-time caller. Once we attend to him, we'll come back to, you know, your line of thought again.
Hello, sir. Good morning.
Morning to you, Ekachi.
Good morning. Good morning to your guest.
Good morning.
Please, the topic of this morning is just as if it is directed at me.
Oh.
Because I'm going through so much in this regard. My wife gave birth in 2019. That is the second baby, a boy.
Okay.
To be precise, on the 29th of July, 2019. Then, just before the naming on a week, I started seeing some strange things. She will tell me that the ladies that normally come to assist her in taking care of the baby, they want to kill the baby, they've cut the nail of the baby, so many things like that. And I was worried. So at a point, I called somebody that I thought she could listen to.
Okay.
At the end, the person was telling me that there was nothing wrong with my wife, that I should just try to take care of her and all that. But I was saying to the man of God that something is strange, that this is not the woman I know. So to cut the long story short, is that 22nd of September, that 2019, everything got degenerated. So I took her to psychiatric hospital, Yaba.
Okay.
We spent some days there, and my own people and our own people started calling me from the village that I should bring her home, that it is not something medical, that is a spiritual issue. So my question now is that the thing has degenerated to the point that now I'm in Lagos, and she's in the village helpless. From that very month of September 2019, the baby did not take breast milk. But I'm thanking God that the baby is still alive. This is 2 years now. She never knew anything from that very day to this moment that I'm talking to you. She can't take care of herself. She can't bathe. In fact, everything has just gone worse. So my question is there a connection to what you're discussing this morning, to what happened to her?
All right.
could anything be connected to that regard now?
All right, Onyekachi. Please hang on. We'll get to that. But Dr. Mobolawa, I would crave your indulgence. Ayobami has been on the line now since Onyekachi started talking. Let's take Ayobami, then we'll merge the two callers together, their response. Hello, good morning to Ayobami.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for picking my call.
Yes, please.
See, the doctor is on point.
Okay.
I'm a living experience. My wife. When I got married to her, when she gave birth to our firstborn. After three months, my wife was now misbehaving. Every friend that knows her, knows us in the street. My wife will just be like, who is this person going on the street?
Oh.
Who is this? To the extent of I fell down, I was crying like a baby. Me, husband. What happened to you now, madam? What happened? What's all this? So the next thing I have to do is to just send that to my mother in the village. It was when the baby was crawling, before this thing stopped, my wife was misbehaving like a lunatic. Second time, when he gave birth to another boy,
okay.
Same thing happened. I quickly sent her to my mother again. But what I discovered was that immediately after the baby had started walking, the sickness will go out of her body. As I'm talking to you now, I have to stop her giving birth again. He has just given birth to one boy and one girl. As a matter of fact, even the country is not good. But anytime she gives birth, that thing will happen to her. After 2 months, the sickness will come. Misbehaving like someone that lose brain.
So is it because the country is not good that you're not giving birth again, or it's
because of the sickness? Okay. I spent, before I realized of taking her to my mother in the village, I spent a lot of money in the hospital. The hospital was just collecting money, passing drip. They say malaria. They were just passing drip. Malaria. That is the second time when you give birth again. I discovered that this thing, I spent almost 600,000 naira.
Ayobami. Let's go to break. The doctor will respond to all of these. Dr. Mobolawa, please stay with me.
Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Welcome back to Crossfire. It's Health First Day on Morning Crossfire, and Health First Day is always quite loaded because we dedicated to health matters, health issues, and we bring experts on the show to bring us some clarifications on some really health important topics. I'm Sheriff Quadri on Morning Crossfire this morning, and I have joining me via Skype. You can watch online, Facebook and YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3, and drop your comments there. If you like to call in and remain anonymous, it's okay, it's fine. We'll take your call if you want to be anonymous. Dr. Mobolawa Akonde Akinyemi is joining us via Skype this morning. She is senior resident doctor, Federal Neuropsychiatric Hospital, Yaba. Dr. Mobolawa, thank you again for joining us this morning.
Okay, you're very welcome.
Yeah, let's attend to the questions we got before the break. Onyekachi first, then Ayobami.
Okay, so I think both of the callers had the same similar experiences with their wife, which must have been very, very traumatic. From what they're describing, it seems like both of their spouses had what we call postpartum psychosis, which is a more severe form of postpartum depression. And that's when you start seeing this irrelevant talk, this fears, this disorganized behavior, hallucinations and delusions. And usually this can be very severe. But the truth about it is that it is a manageable condition. It's highly treatable. And you have to meet people that are specialists that know how to manage it. Because when you come to a center like mine, Federal Neuropsychiatric Hospital, the aim is that you quickly treat the patient, she gets better so that she's able to go back to her child, able to breastfeed. That breastfeeding the child, being able to care for the child, is not truncated. So we have to be a bit more aggressive. Usually they are a very effective treatment modalities. And in the first case of Onyekachi, that is the complication. Sometimes if you don't manage that condition well in that period, it's something that can become chronic. However, I would encourage him to please, they've tried the traditional way and it's not working. Please bring this young lady back to and let her receive orthodox treatment. There is room for much improvement, I think. So a lot, that's why we're here, so that people can know that when your spouse is exhibiting some of these behaviors, it doesn't mean there are some chemical imbalances that are going on after delivery that need to be corrected. And it's the job of the medical, trained medical personnel to know how to manage it.
Now, let's go back to your train of thought initially about the connection between the PPD and, of course, mode of child birth. You were talking about maybe fetal loss.
Yes, yes. Okay, so I was trying to say that certain biological factors could increase the risk of someone coming down with postpartum depression. Hmm. As I've mentioned, that there are genetic factors. In Yoruba culture, they'll say Abisinwi. We call it Abisinwi.
Abisinwi.
Abisinwi. That in that family, sometimes when they give birth, the women have these psychological disorders, but they typically get better. So, but the mode of delivery does not really correlate with having postpartum depression.
Okay.
Someone having a cesarean section does not necessarily mean that she is at higher risk of coming down with postpartum depression than someone that has a normal vaginal delivery. However, there are cultural factors, because in our culture, I've heard it sometimes that when women give birth, there will be their family members will say, "Oh, you were lazy, you couldn't give." So if those psychological, if there's this stigma or derogatory comments being made to a woman because she had one mode of delivery over another, it could predispose her to having. So having psychological factors like having a first child, the child being unwanted, marital discord, problems with the sex. Oh, I wanted a boy and I got a girl. Those things also predispose in our own culture. Those are things that are culturally relevant to having postpartum depression. Then financial problems the cost of delivery being so expensive, some people that can also trigger some of these depressive symptoms.
Dr. Mobola, let me take this message from WhatsApp. This person says, "I experienced postpartum depression after each delivery. I had a vagina birth for my first child and cesarean section for second birth. I think I experienced PPD because of the pain of giving birth, the pain of healing, the pain of the cut and tears, the pain of being sewed up, and trying to recover from the scars, while at the same time not being able to sleep well and trying to produce breast milk from a never lactating breast and caring for the baby as well. All these things happening all at once without a proper support system, such as a relative or at least two or to three helping hands, affects the mood, joy and happiness. It's not easy at all. Yes. I believe women would do better if there was a proper support system, such as the spouse and family members. And that is why this affects sexual intimacy afterwards. And the husband should understand this and help." What's your thoughts on this contribution?
Oh, she's reading the textbook on postpartum depression. Those are some of the factors that make women at increased risk. You have this particular stature, you've always been a figure eight, and then or you give birth and then your body has changed, you're having stretch marks and you cannot recognize your body, and then having lactation difficulties, being unable to produce breast milk, especially if you had been looking forward to using the breastfeeding period as a way of bonding with the child. Having difficulties with lactation can predispose you, and then having lack of support. Our culture is a good one when it's done well. You're supposed to have your mother, your mother-in-law, they're all supposed to be there to support you, but we are losing some of those protective cultural practices. And in addition, sometimes when you're you have these people around. Yeah. In some places, they'll be like, "Oh, go and cook for me. Go and do this." And sometimes they are placing the woman that is underneath under so much biological stress, under psychological stress. So those are some of the things that could predispose. And then expectations. Oh, after 6 weeks, we haven't had sex for this long. The doctor says 6 weeks. And then you're expecting everything. This woman that her hormones haven't gone back to normal. She's not sleeping well. And then there are so many roles. And some people even find another thing we're finding is that women transiting back to work, the anxiety, or some places they don't have maternity leave, and then they have to start worrying about how they're going to care for this child, who's going to be the primary caregiver. So some of these things do predispose the woman to having. So there are certain things like having a proper daycare facilities in the institution reduces risk of a woman having postpartum depression.
Right. I'm going to take this other message here on WhatsApp before we go back to the telephone. This person says, immediately after my wife put to bed of our third child in August 2019, she lost her sleep for 6 months. She couldn't sleep at all, which then triggered her blood pressure. Since then, we've been battling with high BP and her sleeplessness. We have visited so many hospitals and so many gynae, but yet no significant difference. Do you have any idea of what we can do? He's asking.
Yes, I think that this is something that is you have to co-manage with a psychiatrist.
Okay.
This seems like she's having a mood disorder that is was triggered by, which is postpartum depression.
Hmm.
Seems as if she has postpartum depression, so she needs to see a psychiatrist. She can see a psychiatrist at Federal Neuropsychiatric Hospital, Yaba. She can see one at Luz. She can see at Lasu, Bagada General. Island Maternity. Those are some of the places where you could see a psychiatrist.
Mm.
And in addition, there would be a gynecologist that will co-manage the condition together.
Right. That's really Friday now. Isn't satellite. Friday morning to you.
Hello. Good morning, Sherry.
Morning to you.
There was a nice topic this morning. See, Sherry, this what the doctor is saying absolutely the truth, the way you narrated it. It happened to me when my wife gave birth. See,
okay.
When the baby was about 3 weeks old, when we were sleeping in the night, why we just wake up, you see? You will just wake me, say, somebody want to pick her baby. Somebody is dragging with her baby, dragging her baby with her. And the funny thing is that she will mention her father. And the father died when she herself was just like 3 years old. So I was scared. We keep on going places to places.
Mm.
So when the doctor is saying it now, I just reflect my mind back. See, this is what we should be doing, Sherif. I'm really appreciating you because many of us, we spend so much money. You know, you will go to spiritualists, you go to a pastor, they will be telling you all sort of story, something, somebody is after your life. But as she's just saying it now, I took my back. And my friend also said that he happened to him also, that he had to take his wife to the village. We are in the office together now. So, Sherif, I really appreciate you for this.
Thank you
for this program. You are doing us a lot. Many of us are learning from it.
Thank you
very much, Sherif.
Thank you, Friday, for calling. I appreciate it. If you like to join the conversation, please do. 0700-993-993. Dr. Mobolawa, let's dive even deeper about managing postpartum depression. The first part of my question is, how common is it that women can snap out of it on their own, voluntarily? How common is that? And at what point should they seek medical help? Let's say someone wants to know, so my wife has been doing this, or I don't know if they will know by themselves, but at what point should they know that, okay, I will snap out of it, or she will snap out of it? But if she's not snapping out of it, what should be done?
Okay. The truth about it is that there's the role of the patient, there's the role of our family, and there's the role of medical personnel. Now, in more developed clients, when a woman comes for her first antenatal visit at 2 weeks,
okay,
they will screen her at that point in time. They will ask her questions to know, is this lady experiencing postpartum depression? They'll now be able to assess the severity. Is it something that she just needs counseling? Do we need to talk to her husband? Or is it something that she needs medications for? Or is it something that needs admissions? Then every time you go for antenatal vaccination care,
okay,
ideally, you're supposed to be asked those type of questions. So every time as you are going to vaccinate your child, they're supposed to be asking, women, are you experiencing sleeplessness? Are you experiencing weepy spells? Are you experiencing poor appetite? Are you experiencing feelings of sadness, low self-esteem, and all of that? And then if they are able to pick those up, then they'll be able to manage it.
Yeah.
Usually after 2 weeks, if those feelings are not subsiding, if you're feeling overwhelmed, like you can't cope, you have to seek professional advice. Professional advice doesn't always mean that you're going to be placed on medications, depending on the severity. It could be mild, moderate, or severe.
Okay.
It's the doctors that will make that assessment and say, okay, I think you need to do this, 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 and all of that. So after 2 weeks, I'd advise, because it causes severe, if it's not well managed, it can really affect the woman and her husband and her marriage. So it's always better to err on the side of caution.
Right.
I'm feeling this way, and so on, and so on. So the doctor will say, okay, come back in 2 weeks' time. If you're not better, we'll start one or two things before it progresses to something that is so severe.
Right. Let's get to the telephone now and take some more calls. Don't screen calls. Let's not screen this morning. Let's allow, especially for those who like to be anonymous, let's allow people, you know, calling straight so we can speak to them directly. 0700-993-993-993. Hello, good morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
Morning to you.
How are you? This is Mr. Daniel on the line.
Welcome.
Yeah, I appreciate the topic. But I have a contribution,
okay,
most especially to the doctor. When things of this magnitude happen, aside from the medical aspect, there is spiritual aspect attached to it. And this spiritual aspect is what people should always find out. The place you marry, the foundation of where you marry, and what has been happening in the life of the apostle. It is only when you know this thing that you can follow it up. It's a pity there are many churches that deceive people, but there are still churches that do a pure deliverance prayers for people that have experienced such issues. Because the Bible says that a man and woman should be together, and not only that, during the time of birth, they should burn like the Hebrew women. But if our foundation is not checked, then we may experience such pains.
All right.
So this is why it's very good
Thank
for
you.
Us to know and have what?
The foundation.
To know the secret of identity.
Okay.
To know the secret of the past of individual family, where the man married,
family history,
the woman is being married to, and to know how to do what?
All right.
Network every issue that
All
is
right.
challenging.
Thank
them.
You.
Most especially, we can get deliverance from such like CAC.
Thank you. Thank you. You have to go now. Dr. Mabolawa, there you go. Spiritual connection to postpartum depression. I mean, it's always been on my list here, the questions that I was going to ask you. At some point when you mentioned Abisinwi, I was going to drop the question at that point, but I said, let me wait a bit and look for opportunity to drop that question. Is there a connection, really? You are a psychiatrist, so you understand the interconnectivity of all of these things.
Okay, so, you know, we cannot divorce the place of culture and religion. We must practice in the culture and in the social setting in which you find yourself. However, you do know that this condition that we call postpartum psychosis is a global one. You have it in Sweden. You have it in Ghana. You have it in America. And there are biological bases. So I would not, because of our culture, I will not discount the place of people's religious beliefs.
Okay.
But I will come from a purely, I must speak on my medical background. There are biological changes that occur in when you give birth that predispose you to having postpartum depression. And the most important thing for my patients, when I tell them, is that what you want is a solution. You want to get better. And it's been proven that postpartum depression is a highly treatable. It's one of the psychological conditions that is very amenable to treatment. So what I say is that if you have a family member, a friend, or anything that has this condition, come and receive, bring the person for treatment, and then you can do your prayers and all of that. Let them go side by side.
Yeah.
It's not a mutually exclusive thing. This whole thing of delivering like the Hebrew woman and all of that, I think Dr. Sheriff, you should call a gynecologist to come and discuss about that. That's not my milieu.
I'm not a doctor.
I think you should call. But I believe the most important thing for me is women are suffering. Their family members are going through a lot.
That's right. That's right.
Let us not stigmatize them and prevent them from getting the help that they need. All of us want these people to get better, and medical procedures work very, very well. The woman gets better, she goes back to work, she goes back to take care of her child, the chicken or the egg, all those things will be sorted out. Prayers and all of that, they can be done, but let us face both things. If you're hungry, you ask for food. You don't go for prayers and say, I'm hungry. So there's the physical basis, there's the spiritual basis. So I think you should tackle both of them.
All right.
I hope I've been able to answer.
I think so. I think you've done a great job to that caller's question or thoughts. Hello, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Morning to you.
Yeah. Thank God you are on the line. Doctor, good morning. Thank
good
God
morning.
I'm learning this right now. So I need to be at talat when I get married. Okay. So because I didn't know so all these type of things were existing until today. So I'm learning the more. But one thing, the man that talked about spirituality, see in Nigeria, we are too spiritual. Thank God you said it's happening all over the world. I don't believe those things are spiritual.
That's right. Thank you. Thank you for your thought. I appreciate it. We'd like to stay on course. We'd like to stay on course. Good morning to you.
Hello.
Yes, please. Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Yes, please.
Good morning, doctor.
Good morning.
Thank you for this very important discourse this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. You know, just in addition to what the doctors have said, I think to all men, I'm talking about the aspect of men now, and we need to understand also, I mean, you know, even while in the course of marriage, preparing for their baby preparations and all that, we as man also should be able to know, I mean, the body makeup of our women, and even psychology of our women, such that, I mean, even after they might have given birth to the baby, we should be able to know, because I'm married by God's grace.
Okay.
You know, you see some women before, during the pregnancy, even before the pregnancy, they have been lovely, they have been jovial and all that. You know, but the moment that thing comes in, you know, the whole of their system changes. They begin to, I mean, probably turn up some strange behaviors and all that. So a man should be able to understand it. And also, after giving birth, just as she has rightly said, I have experienced that, and I noticed and witnessed that also with my wife. Just like what is it, the moment they gave birth, you know, a lot of things changes. So not even for a man to not compound, I mean, this thing, that this is a woman that will be greeting me 3 times in the morning and all that. Is it because you've not had a baby, you begin to... You know, it goes beyond that. So I think this kind of sensitization, also, you know, apart from even the real medical, we also need some, how do I call it now? I don't know whether therapy, a kind of
therapeutic
way of, I mean, enlightenment, you know, to our men and different people around us. So it's a really very sensitive...
counseling.
Mr. Sharif, I need to appreciate you for this.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's take another one. Let's take another one. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Yes, please.
It's my first time, actually.
It's good to have you.
Maybe I'd like to remain anonymous.
That's fine.
Yeah, I could say that this, your topic this morning is very educated. Like, in my family, I had a fight with my wife because the first child, we had it in the U.S., and then the second one, I wanted her to have in the U.S., but she wanted the system is going to be in Nigeria with her parents. And I was like, why? She said, well, because I didn't understand what she went through in the first delivery. There was nobody to help her. Sometimes she felt like even throwing the baby away and stuff and stuff. But I kept wondering, you know, I kept having this feeling about her that maybe she doesn't want the child to have a good future, doesn't want the child to have an American citizenship and all of that. But with what I've heard this morning, I think I need to apologize to her. Because just like what the other caller said, maybe if men are sensitized better before getting married, we'll be able to manage our spouses well. Mostly when it comes to child delivery and all of that.
Right.
So I want to say thank you to you for this morning's topic.
Thank you. Thank you, my
you
friend.
So much.
Thank you. Thank you for calling. I appreciate it. I really do. Let's take another call. Nigeria Info, good morning to you.
Hello, good morning, sir.
Morning to you. We've got 1 minute for you.
This is Livinus from Ogun State.
Welcome.
Yeah. The topic you are treating this morning is really affected. It really touched me. The thing affected me for about 5 years now.
Oh.
So when my wife had a second born, in fact, after 3 months, my wife was behaving like a mental, maybe she has a, she's having a mental problem.
Mm.
So I went a lot, in fact. When I went to General Hospital, they were telling me to go for EEG or something of that nature.
Mm.
ECT.
In fact, I spent a lot. ECT. At the end, we went to home. I don't know. But I thank God later, the thing just go down. To the extent that now she had about two child now, but okay, without having the same feeling anymore.
Right.
So now I want to ask a question. What can this thing be happening spiritual? And number two, will it be caused by maybe overthinking when the woman is pregnant, thinking whether the date of delivery, whether the thing will be easy or something like that? You know, they always feel with that different type of thought.
When they are worried during pregnancy, you think it can.
Whether the thing will be among the things that will affect them. That is the two questions.
All right.
Whether that of thinking when they were pregnant, okay, and whether it will be also spiritual.
Mm. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Levinas, for calling. That's a mobile hour. We've got about 40 seconds before we go to break, but we'll be right back and wrap up. But if you can attempt his questions, the two, within
okay,
that space.
Okay, yes. So you're saying, does overthinking lead to it? Not really. Overthinking is actually a symptom of its beginning. So sometimes some of the symptoms might have started occurring even before, in the last trimester of pregnancy. The anxious thoughts, the depressive thoughts can sometimes occur in the last trimester. So it's not overthinking that causes it. Overthinking is one of the signs that it might be coming.
Okay.
The second thing is this spiritual aspect. There are biological causes to it. And I'm always wary of attributing something to a spiritual cause when you can get...
Welcome back to Crossfire. We must go now. We really must go right now. I know. Health First Day is always loaded. We've been doing series on some of the topics that we've treated on Health First Day. That's because one edition is never enough. And if you notice very well, Dr. Mobolawa, we actually didn't get any female caller today.
Yes, I did.
That's because we have a female-only line that is currently down. I want to beg if we can bring you back next Thursday, hopefully. I am almost certain that the female-only line will be up by then, and we can now hear directly from the female folks out there. Is that something you're open to?
Well, yes, I am. I'd love that.
That would be great. That would be great, 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 great. In the meantime, if you don't mind, Dr. Mobolawa, before Thursday, can people reach you? How can people reach you?
Well, you could reach where I work. I work at Federal Neuropsychiatric Hospital, Yaba. So you could reach us on our Instagram handle. You could also reach us on we have a phone line.
Okay.
You could also reach out to me on my Instagram handle, which is psych_Bola.
Okay.
Psych, like psychiatrist, _Bola. So you can reach out to me there. All right.
Dr. Mobola, thank you so much for joining us on the Crossfire today. And next week, hopefully, we'll be speaking with you again on the second part of these conversations. So Dr. Omobolawa Kondi Akinyemi, Senior Resident Doctor at Federal Neuropsychiatric Hospital, Yaba. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me. Have a nice day.
You too. Lagos, Nigeria, that's our show today, Morning Crossfire Health Thursday. I'm Sharif Quadri across all social media platforms, and I'll see you tomorrow at 5 on Hot Takes Morning Crossfire. Good morning to you.
Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.